From the WEBR studio in Fairfax, Virginia, this is American Odyssey Radio. Welcome to American Odyssey Radio, WEBR's weekly exploration of the contemporary American experience through interviews about books, news, art, and music. I'm your host, Heather Taylor. Glad you could join me. Today, in celebration of the new year and inspired by a brand new year's promise of a fresh start, this edition of American Odyssey Radio focuses on two kinds of house cleaning. At home and on Capitol Hill. Up next, we'll have an interview with Scott Rower, who's with the National Association of Professional Organizers. Stay tuned.
How many of you people out there been hurt in some kind of love affair? And how many times do you swear that you'd never love again? How many lonely sleepless nights? How many lies? How many fights? And why would you want to put yourself through all of that again? Love is pain, I hear you say. Love is a cruel and bitter way of paying you back for all the faith you ever had in your brain. Or could it be that what you need the most can leave you feeling just like a ghost? You never want to feel so sad and lost again. One day you could be looking through an old book in rainy weather. You see a picture of her smiling at you when you were still together. You could be walking down the street and who should you chance to meet but that same old smile you've been thinking of.
You are listening to WEBR in Fairfax, Virginia. I'm Heather Taylor, and this is an edition of American Odyssey Radio. That was Brand New Day. I thought it was apropos. That was Sting, written back in, or recorded back in 1999. You know those places around the house that annoy you every time you notice them? The kitchen shelf jammed with old plastic takeout containers and storage bowls with no lids? The dispiriting tangle of wires under your desk. The coat closet so clogged you just throw your coat over a chair when you come home. And the linen closet piled with almost everything but fresh sheets and towels. Do you really want to go through another year letting your house push you around like this? That compelling introduction is part of an article that the Washington Post Home Section issued a week or so ago. And if those questions are questions that you've been thinking about recently, I hope you'll stay tuned and join Scott Rower of the National Association of Professional Organizers to talk about that subject. But before we get into the specifics of what to do about improving our home area, those messes, five annoying messes, for example, as they suggest in the article, I'm going to ask Scott to tell a little bit about what he does as a professional organizer.
Hi, Heather. Thanks for having me today.
Sure.
particularly I in a Home, Solutions by Scott, we work with folks in their residence and a few clients in their office, but I work with them to develop systems for their everyday life to make it easier to get up in the morning, to work with your children, to go to bed at night and not feel anxious about, gosh, I have this to do and I didn't get it done, as well as just function overall. The ultimate goal is that I'm going to transfer these skills to that person. So when I'm long gone, they are going to be able to do this on their own. That's what I do. However, professional organizers serve a large gamut within the industry. For example, some only work in the corporate area. Others are productivity experts or efficiency experts. Some are trainers, authors, coaches, practitioners. There's a lot of different fields that we work in as professional organizers.
Okay, great. Well,
why don't you talk about the organization itself? I know it's been around since, what is it, 1980?
1985, the National Association of Professional Organizers began with a very small group of women. I think it was 7 or 8 women. And the original purpose was to get women back into the workforce after being off for pregnancy or another reason. Obviously, we've evolved a little bit since then. In 1985, when they were formed, it's a nonprofit association, and there's over 4,000 members who participate nationwide and internationally as well.
Okay, so are more members women than men?
The organization is predominantly female. Okay. However, it seems like a lot of the leaders are men. It's okay. Very interesting.
Okay. Well, that's probably true in a lot of fields. You think of teaching and so forth and cooking, chefs, so many chefs are male or chief chefs. Now, I'm looking at your T-shirt. I want you to sit back just a little. It says, listeners, I came, I saw, I organized. That says it all for you.
It does. I really want people to step up and be able to do this as quickly as possible. And one way they can do that is by making a commitment that they really are wanting to get organized, that they're willing to change some of their not-so-good habits in order to adopt a little bit of a new lifestyle. This is not something you can do once, and it will maintain itself. For example, if it starts to snow and you go out and shovel while it's still snowing, the snow's going to continue to build up. Well, if you go and fix your paper, but the paper keeps coming into your house and you never do anything again, the paper is going to continue to build up. So you have to do something to adopt a new lifestyle so it becomes a habit.
Okay. What is the biggest, most common problem you find among your clients?
Well, there's so many different areas of the home where clutter can build up. In the Washington Post article, they talk about the kitchen cabinets, as you mentioned, and the dreaded linen closet, when that's really a bonus area of your home. Not many people have a linen closet.
Right.
The bathroom, under the bathroom sinks and the medicine cabinet.
Right.
Coat closets are a common victim because it's the first thing you walk by when you come in the front door. So it's the handy stash-all area. And then your home office.
Right.
There's so much paper, and life is not slowing down with emails and text messages and all the ways that people can contact us. Life is not slowing down. Therefore, we have to do something to make life more productive.
Okay, some people say they don't really think being neat is a terribly effective way for them to go, for example, through the creative process. A notion of a chaotic environment actually lends itself to their creativity. Do you think there's anything to that?
There's certainly some truth to that for certain individuals. However, a lot of people have functioned in that chaotic lifestyle because that's all they've ever known. They might have grown up in that type of environment and were never taught skills to become organized. For some people, it's a skill that they learn. For others, it's a skill that they seem like they've always had. In schools, teachers, it's a skill that they're not often teaching students. So students often, we give it, oh, they're just a teenager. But they're actually in need of some organizing skills. Now, the whole chaos question and neatness. Being neat and being organized are two totally different things. You can function in your home and your desk and have organized piles and still be able to function very well. You might be a person who knows your shoes go in the closet, but you kick them off in the living room and you leave them there because you're going to wear them tomorrow.
Right.
Well, that's not being neat, but it's still a place that it could be organized.
Okay. Okay. So you've got this notion that being organized, if you get organized this month, I know you guys, National Association of Professional Organizers, have put together this Get Organized Month, of a series of events where you're helping groups, nonprofit groups, get themselves organized. How are you helping us? I mean, telling us or actually holding our hands as we remove the debris from the kitchen table and placing it in our home office? Or what are you doing?
Well, to answer your first question, Get Organized Month, commonly known as GO Month, is the third annual nationwide industry for organizing event. For example, we are working with people to promote getting organized in 2007, as well as what are the benefits of using a professional organizer to assist you to do that. As far as what organizers may be doing or the industry, there are 27, I believe, chapters throughout the United States for the National Association of Professional Organizers. And throughout those chapters, they might be doing a shred-a-thon or holding a seminar or a panel where people can come and learn and listen, or a recycle and reuse event. Here in Washington, D.C., what the National Association of Professional Organizers in the Washington area are doing is serving as volunteers for the Community Family Life Services Association here in Washington. It's a nonprofit association to help low income and homeless people. And then the other thing is Women at Real Risk. It's a breast cancer awareness organization. Both small nonprofits that don't have a lot of money who could really use some assistance, and so we're volunteering our time. Now, as far as do we hold hands, we do things that people, however they need, whether they need a cheerleader, I'll be their cheerleader in the background, whether they simply need someone to do it with them and help make those tough decisions. Do I keep this? Do I not keep it? Why am I keeping it? You know, that kind of hard question. As well as there are some people who go in and do it for you. The main thing, if they go in and do it for you, you need to make sure that you learn the skills to maintain that system that they have set up for you.
Otherwise, you'll be back visiting them and charging them, I assume, for the work that you've been doing. Makes a lot of sense. I read somewhere that you suggest that people don't have too few spaces, they have too much stuff, or something to that effect.
Stuff continues to just build up, and a lot of it is because we buy, because we think we need. Well, homes, especially in this particular area in Washington, they have smaller closets because people used less things, and they needed less things. Well, now we have more money, more disposable income, and there's more gadgets out there, so we buy because we're interested. And then it kind of goes in the back of the closet. For clothing, for example, people often wear 20% of what they have. You've heard this rule,
yes.
80% of the time. So if someone really were to go through their wardrobe and downsize and pick the things that they wore consistently, that fit, that were still in style, not torn or damaged, they would realize, gosh, I really do have space in my closet and I can make this work. So people really need to look at their possessions and determine, is this useful? Is it going to make me money? Does it make my life easier? Is it have great sentimental value to it? And if it does, am I going to respect it by displaying that particular item? If you answer yes, then those are items that should be in your home.
I know a lot of us probably think, I want to organize, and so let me go out and get some shelves and get start hammering or putting together these things, and I'm all set. I'm ready to go. But you say, no, that's not really the way to do it.
Now, you cannot do this backwards. In other words, by going out and buying the containers and putting the shelves up and then making everything fit. That's not the way to do it. You want to make sure that you first look at your items, sort through them, downsize, or, you know, purge is a popular buzzword to purge your items, donate them, repurpose them in your home. Once you've done that, you're going to see how many pairs of pants you have to store versus how many long clothing items you might need to store. Perhaps you need more long hanging space. Or in your kitchen, if you go out and buy organizers, but you determine, I really don't need 11 pot holders, then you're going to have too much supplies. So really sort through your items, group them together in like items, and then you can assign a home to them.
All right, let's go through the five problem areas, one, five of the many problem areas in a house. For example, let's start with the kitchen. I think that's where I saw a quote from you about, and potholders were involved. The journalist who was responsible for putting together the story apparently had 11 or 12 potholders, and she didn't really need all of those.
No, the rule I suggest to people is, how many cooks do you have in your house? How many hands do you have? Okay, so that's two. Well, you might keep an extra one or two around in case you do have an extra chef in your kitchen one day, right, or over the holidays, or if you launder them. Right. That's kind of a good rule for how many potholders you need in your house. Okay. Some of the common things I find that are clutter are the dreaded grocery store plastic bags. You know, that never-ending supply that seems to always come home with us once we go grocery shopping. So for that, either repurpose the bag and use them for your sweaty gym clothes or for picking up pet waste, or take them back to the grocery store and recycle them.
Right. Or and you get 3 cents, I think, in some places.
In some cities, yes,
yeah,
you do.
Yeah.
If you are not recycling them, you could reuse that particular bag. Just carry them with you.
Right.
Or don't bring them home at all. Have a canvas bag. Have a small duffel bag and use those to carry your groceries. Empty the groceries. Put the bags back in your trunk. They'll always be there. And that way you're not wasting the environment or cluttering your kitchen cabinets.
Right. I think a place like a Whole Foods sells those canvas bags. Not that you had to buy from there. You could use any old canvas bag to carry your groceries. So
they do offer canvas bags, but again, you can find those at any home goods store or any department store.
Right. Okay. So in terms of the kitchen, things like too many items, and what about pots and pans? I mean, that can get to be kind of a crazy mess. I mean, for example, you get a new set of pots. No burn marks, no stains, no discoloration. And then there are all these other good pots that are, like I say, still good, but you're not going to use them anymore. I mean, what do you recommend for something like that? Is there a store? Do you recommend storage? Do you recommend giveaway? How do you go about deciding that sort of thing?
Sure. Storage in my life is a naughty word. Simply because if you're taking an item such as pots and pans that were just replaced, and you're paying to store those off-site, because a lot of homes in the area don't have storage on-site, so you have to take it somewhere else. And you're paying $120 a month. Well, you, by the end of the year, have bought yourself 12 new sets of pots and pans. What are you going to do with all those? So I really recommend that you find a new purpose, whether that be you give them to a relative who maybe has a child going off to college or they're starting their new first apartment. You might donate them to your local Goodwill or Salvation Army, because there's always people, your trash is somebody else's treasure. So the pots and pans that you might not necessarily want anymore, you can pass on. Now, if there's one or two that was your favorite pan and you know you're going to continue to use it, or you need two of those 8-inch skillets, then keep it as long as you are using it. Right. If you find after a year you're not, then maybe it's time to pass it on.
Okay. When you talk about using things for other purposes, I'm reminded of the part of the article that included the home office and how sort of tangled cords from computers and lamps and so forth were actually placed in an old basket, and the back of the basket was cut out. And from the front, very decorative. From the back, manageable. I mean, that was a stroke of genius,
That's a perfect idea. They cut the basket in half, hung it on the back half of the desk, so when you looked at it, all you saw was this pretty wicker basket. Excuse me. You can also use a power strip. Mount the power strip underneath the desk, plug the cords in, and then use some twist ties or different cable managers and group them all together and run them in one long line. The visual madness, the visual clutter will be reduced.
Right. Okay. Let's see. Hall coat closet. Oh, boy. I'm sure a lot of us can recognize that as a real problem area. Everything, not everything but coats, but certainly coats and more are stored there on a regular basis.
Well, you know, if you were to look behind the coats, you're going to find in a lot of homes skis, fire extinguishers, vacuums, golf clubs, children's artwork somehow made it to the back of the coat closet. And really, you need to make a determination. This is going to be a coat closet or it's going to be a multi-purpose closet. I recommend that if it's up front, you make it a coat closet. Have the coats in there. Keep a spot for your gloves and your winter hats. I recommend having one basket or one bin for each family member so they can always put their own gloves away. And if they say, Mom, where's my gloves? Well, did you put them back in your bin? No. Okay,
no.
So you're going to teach your child that process of organizing. Right. Also, when you do this, I recommend go ahead and clean out the closet. Take it all out, clean the closet, mop the floor. If you're feeling adventuresome, go ahead and paint the closet. Right. And then when you put things back in, make sure they're the coats you're going to wear.
Right.
Not those old overcoats that, you know, you replaced a few years ago. Those are high demand items at, you know, thrift stores. So I encourage you to donate them.
Okay. Bathroom. I've got that. I think the example in the story was a sort of a pale pink bathroom tile that was very uninviting. What to do about it if I can't afford to simply remodel my bathroom?
Well, that particular quote was done with a interior designer, and their recommendation was to use a toned down color, a white, an off-white, a light ivory to accent your bathroom, to make your bathroom one color. It might complement the pink tile, and then use accessories to do the accent colors. So if you did it light white, you could use, you know, blue accent towels or add the green, whatever might be your particular choice. The clutter in the bathroom, that's the hard part. You know, you open the medicine cabinet and the three bottles fall out. Or
and they're all expired.
Exactly. And one note about expiration dates when it comes to medicine is they're usually good for 1 year after the date from the FDA. However, I recommend that people check for makeup, that they ask the place, the makeup counter, when they buy it, you know, what's the shelf life of this? And then if you've been using lipstick and you got really sick, maybe you should not keep that particular tube. Or if you had an eye infection and you were using mascara, I recommend that the tube go away.
Right. Right.
And if it's a color that was never your color to begin with, go ahead and let's get rid of those old makeup.
Okay.
One of the other victims, let me mention this one if you don't mind, is the hotel travel bottles.
Oh, yes.
When we go to hotels and you're like, ooh, free shampoo, free lotion, and you pick those up and you take them home and you dump them in the bathroom, in the closet, and they just start piling up and falling over. Either A, don't bring them home. B, actually use them when you do bring them home. Or C, gather all the ones that you currently have, and instead of throwing them away, group them together and take them to a local shelter.
Right.
The shelter then passes out those items, and they are used for a valuable purpose.
No, that's great. Before we get out of here, I want to make sure that we talk about the linen closet. The linen closet, I think we were told in the story that we're lucky to have them, and yet I know from my own experience, things other than towels and washcloths and sheets end up going in there, stashed in little spaces behind this and that. Very inefficient.
Well, and this bonus space that often is found in people's homes is a place you visit daily. And if it's cluttered and is full of lots of different things that don't necessarily belong, that daily experience is not a pleasant one. So determine what you need. Take everything out of the linen closet. And as you start to put things back, make sure the towels are still fresh and that you would actually use them. Think of would you give a guest that towel? And if the answer is yes, it's probably still good to keep around. All the old medicines and pill bottles, go ahead and get rid of those. Take the liquid items and put them in plastic bins, because that way if they were to ever leak or spill, they're self-contained. Put the items that you're going to use most often, most frequently, at your eye level and in front, and take everything else and distribute it throughout the closet, whether it be towels, linens for your bed, extra pillows, blankets. Just don't overstuff the linen closet.
Great. Before I have to go, I have to have you go, and I have to go, I want to find out how people can get in touch with a professional organizer.
There are a couple of different ways to find a professional organizer. And one thing to know is that there's a lot of different specialties. So when you do go looking for a professional organizer, find someone who, A, you're comfortable with, talk to them on the telephone and interview them. B, make sure that their specialty matches what your need is. It's no good to find someone to come help you and they specialize in paperwork when you need your closet done. You can visit NAPO, which is the abbreviation for the National Association of Professional Organizers, NAPO.net. It's a nationwide search by specialty and by area. So you can enter your zip code and within a 10-mile radius, and you'll get all the organizers who match your specialty. Here in Washington, we have one just for this region, and it's D like District C of Columbia, dcorganizers.org. So people can go there and do the same exact search and find people in the region. And I'd like to recommend solutionsbyscott.com as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Scott. Scott, of course, is with the D.C. chapter of the National Association of Professional Organizers. The National Association of Professional Organizers is available to help you get organized. Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you for joining me on American Odyssey Radio. And tune in next week. Bye.